What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Tommy Prine. How are you, dude?
Doing all right, man. How about yourself?
Really good, really good. I've been excited to do this one. I'm glad we could make this work.
And hey, thanks for having me, man.
For sure. Before we hop into anything, though, I guess just let us know what you've been up to recently, with maybe with shows or recording, writing. What have you been up to?
Man, not very much. I just had my first kid 5 weeks ago, so I've
Congrats.
Been off the road. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, I've been a dad for the last 5 weeks. You know, I've been writing a good bit at home. You know, I'm kind of planning on doing another record next year, so I've been trying to get some work done on that. But yeah, other than that, I've been home and it's been really nice, to be honest. It's been great. Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine, man. Well-deserved rest, I guess, aside from the daddy duty.
But I mean, dude, I was going to say it's hard for sure. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say it's easy, but like just being in one spot to me is like, feels so good. You know what I mean? It's like, as even though I am up till 3-4 in the morning taking care of this kid, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm like, hey, at least I'm at the same building. You know what I mean? Like, this feels great, you know?
Yeah, not run around too much. That's awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so we might as well hop into it, man. So I guess let's start with your sound, like your style. And I guess it would be pretty simple to put the Americana label on it, you know? But I think a lot of people, at least like I'm just now learning the real ins and outs of what makes Americana Americana. Mm. So I guess, first of all, like if someone wouldn't know what that means, like at its core, how would you describe Americana music?
Americana music kind of feels like, you know, country that isn't on like AAA radio. You know what I mean? Like, it just kind of feels like adjacent to country music. I mean, like, it would have been called country music in the 90s. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just kind of like a community built in music that is, I guess, just kind of like geared towards different things and like, you know, writing towards different topics and sonically kind of a broader space than country or just rock, you know, because you got, I mean, I make a whole bunch of different kind of sounds in my music, you know, like some indie rock, some straight up, you know, folk, some kind of country punk sort of vibes, you mm-hmm. know. So I think it's just kind of like a come one, come all kind of term, you know, for, you know, if you play an instrument and you write songs, you know, you're welcome in Americana. So
for sure. And that's how I've been kind of seeing it, too, because the thing with Americana music, it seems like when you compare it to other genres, I feel like it's just as much a culture as it is like a style of music, if that makes any sense.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like they got their own awards now for it. So it's like there's, for lack of a better term, like an establishment for it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's like, you know, they got a red carpet, you know, it's like they're legitimized now. But yeah, I think it is kind of like, you know, in a way, it's like a bit of like a, like the lone wolf of music coming late to the party and then like kind of discovering that it has a lot of, similarities with like, you know, other folks, you know, and a lot of people feel comfortable in it, you know?
Yeah. And seeing it really pop off again, like it's really like with like the new generation of fans, I feel like Americana is like big. Like in a way, like you, it's kind of coming to the mainstream a bit. I mean, you could look at guys like, I know Tyler Childers is more in the country category, but you get
totally,
like even guys like him to like, it's a wide spectrum and it's really cool to see it really popping off.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, even with like Zach Bryan stuff too, you know, it's like, you know, when he blew up big time, I was like, okay, like this is great. Young kids are like giving a shit about like emotional songwriting and like kind of more like stripped back production, you know what I mean? Like real instrumentation like happening, you know what I mean? Like that kind of vibe. So I was like, hell yeah, like that's great. You know, I guess I don't know if do they call him country, I guess, like in the charts or whatever.
Zach Bryan.
Yeah.
I've seen him labeled all kinds of things, folk, Americana, country.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, and you know, I think Americana in that sense is like, you know, I don't know if they are in the same like web of what is considered country in terms of like major record labels and stuff like that. Like when I think Americana, you know, it's like a lot of it is kind of synonymous with independent, you know? Yeah. And I think that is also kind of like an important kind of earmark there. Not to say that every Americana artist is independent. I'm just saying it's like kind of more common in that space, I'd say.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, kind of going into your specific sound, man, like you kind of said it earlier, it's when I listened to your last EP, like it was a bunch of different stuff. And that's what really grabbed me. And I think that's what really makes artists unique, especially in a scene like the Americana scene where it is like a lot of people are like Americana.
Totally, yeah.
And I think that's what makes artists like you guys stand out. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
before we go more into that, I was kind of curious, obviously, with your father being who he is, was there, like, when you started to really get into music, was it hard to, I guess, escape, like, the comparisons and stuff like that when you do have your own sound? That's like, you know, like, it's you, it's Tommy Prine.
Right.
I'm wondering how, like, how did you navigate that when, if there was ever any of that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's like there's gonna be an element of that forever, you know, and like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess like the one thing I'll say about it is like, it wasn't enough to stop me,
right?
You know? So it's like, I love my dad. I'm proud to be his son. I think it's cool that he was who he was. I'm super proud of him and like his work, you know? And I just think like, it can just be that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be like, every time I hit the stage, I'm like, oh, am I going to do him service? Like, I don't think about that shit. Like,
right.
I like playing music. I like writing music. I like, that's just what I do. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
It feels like I'm getting closer to him, you know? And
yeah,
I think that's awesome and it feels good. And I get to explore my own, like, kind of my own vibe and my own energy in the studio and on stage and like, explore who I am and how I connect with people and, you know, what makes me fit into this big puzzle that we're all living in, you know what I mean? So I just, yeah, it's just the way I roll, I guess. I don't know. It's, it's nothing that like weighs down on me too much.
Yeah, for sure. And I think of that cause I'll just use my own anecdote. My dad went to see the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band not too long ago and you opened for him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Dad was, he's gigantic John Prine fan, always has.
Nice.
Been for, since he was, you know, a kid. So
yeah,
when his reaction when he got out of it was like, the coolest thing about Tommy Prine is that it's his own thing. It's not like a cookie cutter, we're gonna play like dad did kind of thing. It's like,
yeah,
it is your,
yeah,
your own avenues. And I think that's what like that has to be a cool feeling for not only you but like fans, like if they get to see like, okay, this is its own thing, it's badass.
Yeah, totally. Man, yeah, you know, I mean, I think I'm really grateful that people have seemed to kind of like accept me for who I am and kind of like had an open mind approaching me, you know? I mean, obviously I think in the very, very beginning, you know, like there was like some really funny Facebook comments like, ah, I'm out. Like he doesn't sing like his daddy does. I'm like,
oh,
whatever.
I'm sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And like, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, and also here's the thing too, is like, they're not wrong. Like, everyone's allowed to have their opinion. And, like, I'm not here to change it. I'm just here to, like, give what I can give. And I've been very lucky that people have, like, received it in that way. So that does make me happy to hear.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And when it comes to your sound and from when you first started writing or playing to now, do you find it evolving as you go with each release, in any okay. ways progressing? Like, how does that like come about for you?
Totally. I mean, so one thing is like, when I approach the studio, I generally approach it with the feeling and the thought of like, okay, I'm going to go learn something today.
Mm.
Like, it's not so much like, oh, I know this song by the back of my hand and I'm going to make it sound like this precisely. Like, I go in there and I try and do something I haven't done before and I try and learn. And I think so much of what is so special about music is, you know, when they record the moment, like that moment in time of that guy singing that line, that song, that with that guitar, I think to find the really special parts of that, of like recording a moment, I find is when someone's like doing something that they're like not really confident in, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like when you kind of break that vulnerability layer with yourself and you're like, all right, I'm going to like, even if it takes me 18 takes and all these suck and then maybe the 16th one wasn't so bad kind of thing, I think that's where you get really special stuff. And
I love going in the studio and just doing new stuff. Like on this EP, I did the drums on some songs. I did keys, synthesizers. Like I was picking up all different types of string instruments. Yeah, like the bass, you know, I was just kind of like doing stuff that I don't generally do. But I think that we captured some like really cool stuff on there, you know, cause it's just kind of like trying to trust yourself and, you know, like you're not like weighed down with all the information of like playing acoustic guitar for 20 years or whatever, you know what I mean? And so it's like when I pick up drumsticks, I'm in a new land, you know what I mean? I'm in like a totally new room. I don't even know what I'm doing, but you know, we piece it together and, you know, we make it into something. And that's when I feel like some really special stuff happens. So,
yeah. And I'm no professional musician, but as a fan and a listener, I think like some of the most exciting stuff with your favorite artists is when they do try and do new stuff and they do want to experiment in the studio, not be afraid to take those leaps. You got, you know, some, you got like a band like AC/DC. That's a very formulaic approach. They're AC/DC though.
Yeah.
But
totally.
But like, I think what really like separates the guys and gals who really have the juice for it are the ones who are not afraid to try anything different and aren't afraid to really go for it.
Yeah. And it's like, that's literally how you grow. You know what I mean? Like that's how a sound grows. Like you're not going to grow by going in there, writing the same songs, playing them on the same guitar, you know, like doing the same mix notes like over and over again. Like that, like, I love it because, like, people, like, whenever they hear, like, a new, like, the new Tyler record, people were like, oh, I didn't like how Rick Rubin produced it. Like, it was overproduced. I'm like, overproduce isn't a thing.
Yeah.
I don't think overproduce is a thing. It's just, like, you probably just, like, don't get it yet. And then, like, give it, like, 2 weeks and, like, you can't stop listening to it, you know? It's Tyler pushes the sonic boundary every record, and I think that's so badass. Because when you look back on his discography and, like, 20 years, you're gonna be like, holy shit, what a special library of like different sounds from this one guy, you know?
Yeah, and Tyler's a great example. Like, I feel like whenever he puts a new album out, you have that group of people who are like, oh, he's done, he's washed, and like, with every album it's the same thing. Single time it's like, no, it's different. And like, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But like, you can't call it bad.
Yeah. But then also give it literally 10 days and they'll be like, that's pretty good. Like, you know what I mean? Like once they like kind of like catch on to it.
Yeah. 100%. When you do go into the studio and try to, and really try to push yourself to do like other things, like try other stuff out, is that, and I hope this makes sense, but is that like a natural thing that you've always been able to do? Or is it something that you'd have to like learn over time? Like, okay, like I want to try doing this. Or is it more so like it just happens for you?
I mean, you know, like growing up, like when I would like jam with my friends and stuff, like we would all like take turns. Like we would switch. Like I'd play the drums for an hour and a half and then I'd go to the bass and then the guitar. So like I've done all these things before. Like I've played piano my whole life, like but I wouldn't say I'm like performance ready with a lot of those instruments, you know? Like I enjoy playing piano at home, but like I don't know when it'll be time for me to do it on stage. You know what I mean? Like it's nerve-wracking for me, but in a studio there's a little bit of like you know, there's some like safety like guidelines there for you, you know? It's like you're there in this enclosed space with the people that you chose to be there with for the most part, if you're paying for it at least. And then you know, it's like you just kind of, I see it as like a playground, and it's like, all right, here's what I want to capture today. I want to capture it in this way, and I feel like if I were to go over here and in this corner and spend some time, like then go over to this corner and spend some time, you know, I just kind of let it like dictate itself, you know, like I go in, I lay down the guitar first and then we literally go from there and like usually add like bass and drums first. And then if there's anything like missing, we kind of go from there. But
gotcha. And while we're on the topic still about like trying new things and stuff like that, I'm curious on your take. Obviously now in recent times, a lot of it happening in the country genre is a lot of genre bending. You got like totally. different, like there's rock, there's hip hop in it now. It's just like a big, you know, a big ball of everything. And I'm kind of curious, with that being, you know, the normal thing now for the most part, what you're like stance on that is. Like, was that, like, I love it personally. I, like, from an artist's point of view, like, because you got, like, the fans who always have something to say about that, too. Like, oh, Beyonce totally put a country album out. Like, you got those guys. But what's your whole stance on that?
I mean, I think genre sucks. Like, I hate, I hate the idea of genre. As a listener, it's great. Like, I remember, like, before I was an artist, I was like, oh, I get it. It kind of categorizes, like, you know, these records with these records. But now that I make records, I'm like, this, like, I don't want to label any of it, you know? Because it's like, especially with like country and Americana, it's like, it matters a lot what the label is, because you got to go through the route of like promoting it and like getting press. And like, there's certain places that unless it's country or if it's anything outside of country, they won't touch it. Cause it's like, why would they? They only do country, you know, like they'll, you only get like XYZ articles because it's a country record. Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I think like where it kind of ties back to what we were talking about earlier. Artists create, we like to create. And I don't think there's a lot of creating being done when you're spitting out the same stuff again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like everything is meant to like fit into its own mold and then break and then reform. Like I just, that's how people are. And that's like, I think we're just kind of like spitting that experience back out through like music and what people make, you know. People change, people go through things, people learn, you know, people do all sorts of stuff. And like, I think that music is just like a bit of like a mirror of that corner of the human experience, you know?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are picking up on that, listeners, that is. Like, I think audiences are really starting to accept it more.
Yeah.
I here's another example. I keep throwing examples out, but Sturgill Simpson. I mean,
totally.
has he made an album that's the same? Like, I don't think he has.
No, he hasn't. And it's awesome. Like, yeah. I love to hear it. It's like he goes from like straight up the middle, like playing in a honky tonk country to like a crazy like accoutrement to a anime movie, like metal record. And I'm like, that's the coolest shit I've ever heard.
That's my favorite.
And then like two bluegrass records. I'm like, this is great. Like, I love to hear that, you know?
Yeah. It's incredible. But let's talk a bit about your writing and everything, man. A thing that I am jealous I would never experience is when songwriters, have you ever had moments to where like your song really connects with someone, like a complete stranger, anything like that? Like, what is the feeling there? Like, it has to be crazy when something, because writing songs, like, that's a very personal thing, and putting it out and having it connect and relate to a stranger or a new listener, like, how is that feeling for you?
Yeah man I mean it is truly really special. I think there must be some sort of like way that the human brain is wired that like I can't really wrap my head around it all the way, because if I was able to, it would be like a crushing responsibility. You know what I mean? Or like it would turn into one. But man, you know, I just feel so blessed that I even get to do this at all. And then for some folks to like come to my shows and like have like my lyrics tattooed on them, or like, you know, just like a story about showing my song to their kid and it's something that they like to do before dinner or something like that, like that kind of shit sticks with me and like in a really special way, you know. It's like, it's hard to really wrap my head around the impact that music makes, you know. It's not even so much like a Tommy thing. It's just like music is such a special thing, and I'm just so blessed I'm a part of it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just like a cool kind of byproduct of it. You know, if you respect the craft and you put in the work, then, you know, I think the real dream any artist would tell you is like, they just want to like connect. They want to feel heard. They want to be like everybody else. Like, it's like, you know, when you connect with a song, you're like, oh, I'm like 1% less alone now, because like this random person just wrote down everything that was in my heart today, you know? And just to be a part of that, I think it's like one of my favorite parts of my life. You know, it's really beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great way to put it. And I'm also wondering, like, and this might be an obvious answer to a songwriter, but when you do write a song, is it ever obviously you're writing it for yourself because, you know, you're writing a song about your experiences and everything. But is there ever the aspect of I'm writing this for other people too? Is there a, like a middle ground to where like you have to balance both out? Do you not care? Like, is there ever like a battle really when you're writing?
I mean, so there's like a few ways I feel like that I approach a song when it comes to that. You know, sometimes it's literally like a journal entry that it's like turns into a song and it's all basically for me. And I think, oddly enough, those are the ones that connect the most, because I think, you know, if you're that open and that honest with things that you feel and you perceive, you know, and if you're lucky, there might be some people that hear it that feel the exact same way, you know, and just it's like a perfect match sort of situation. But there is something that like songwriters will do where it's like, you know, making a song more universal, you know. And like that'll be like something that like a producer would like help you when they're like critiquing your songs and being like, hey, change this line to like her, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or like change this, you know what I mean? Like doing stuff like that and making it more universal kind of in like the semantics of it. Just because it can be really easy to write a song that like only you get, you know? And I think if you can make it more universal in terms of not just changing little words, but approaching the line in a more universal way, which is basically saying, like, be simpler.
Yeah.
Like, just take it down a notch, be a little bit simpler, fifth grade words, you know what I mean? Just, like, just really say what you're trying to say, you know? So, yeah, I think in a way there is a part of it where it's like you're writing this for other folks to hear. You want them to hear it, you know?
Yeah. It's just nuts how, like, it's truly an art form. And, like, it's so hard to understand sometimes, but it's crazy when it works out.
I mean, it probably sounds like I'm talking.
It makes perfect sense.
Over here, yeah.
No, it makes perfect sense, though. And,
totally, yeah.
Do you like to co-write? Do you co-write much? Like, what's that situation?
Love it.
Like, okay.
I love it. I mean, I just love to write, and also co-writing kind of like makes me stop being lazy and like get active about it, you know, because I'll just like go through bursts of writing and then I'll be like, nah, I'm bored, like I don't want to write anymore. But yeah, I love co-writing, dude. I just love working with people and like collaborating. Like, people are so awesome, dude. Like, people can be so talented, and I love working with like talented folks that are just like so passionate and care about it the same way that I do, but like they're totally different people, totally different experiences, and I think that's such like an awesome thing to draw from in a room when you're writing, you know. So yeah, I love it. I love doing it.
Heck yeah. So let's talk a bit about your EP that came out in August. Love Circle, man. That's the first listen when I really dove into it. I just went ahead and dove into that one, and man, that it caught me right away. Like we were talking about, different styles, different sounds. It's like a really interesting listen, and it's really engaging, which I think is, like, you know, obviously key for a new listener like I was at the time, and it was great. And I guess first off, if there was any like themes or any meanings behind like the way you structured the EP, anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that I like sequenced the EP is like it's supposed to kind of replicate like a relationship that falls apart. You know, like it starts out Purple Paint with being like really over enamored with one another, like puppy love kind of thing. Standing in the Middle is like a little bit more like mature of like a love song. Love Circle is like kind of when things start getting like, you know, like you start looking back on how things started sort of thing, you know? And then there's Caught in the Wake when things go crazy, and then Space because you need some space. And then Mysteries of Man is just kind of like, you know, when you're single afterwards and like rethinking your life and how you're going to go forward, you know? So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, and I wanted to call it Love Circle because there's a spot in Nashville called Love Circle that used to be a spot back in the day for like couples to go up there and like make out and drink beers and shit like that, you know. And it used to have the best view in the city, and then I think John Rich or something like built a huge house like blocking the entire
freaking so, John Rich
Yeah, and like it's funny. My manager was like, "Don't talk about John Rich in interviews," because he's like sued people about even just bringing it up. So like, maybe I'll see you in court, brother. I don't know.
I'll be right there with you, buddy.
Yeah,
but heck yeah, man. Well, were you pretty happy with the reception when it dropped? I'd imagine.
Yeah,
so.
Man. You know, I mean, it's like it can be difficult being an independent artist, especially when I do something that's like a self-release. You know, like it doesn't get like the same kind of like splash as like a record does. But these songs were literally like bursting out of my pockets, dude. I was like, I gotta like put something out or I'm gonna freak out. So I like put those out, and it was part of it was just like I wanted to just like wipe my head clean of them, you know, so I didn't think about them all the time, and I could start writing new stuff for the record, because the EP was basically like half of the album that I was going to do this year, and then I learned I was going to be a dad, and I was like, I'm not doing both. I was like, I'm doing the kids happening, so I was like, but I think I'm gonna do an EP instead. So but it's been great, dude. You know, I mean, I think there's a couple songs on there that folks have been the folks that go to my shows have been really wanting to hear. So yeah, I think it's been received pretty well.
Awesome, man. Well, like I said, I loved it. It was fantastic. And before we head out, man, and by the way, thank you so much for doing this. I had
a
really good time.
Thanks for having me, dude. Yeah.
And before you hop off, if there's anything you'd like to talk about, maybe some new music, some shows, anything like that coming down the pipe?
Yeah. Well, if you got a movie theater near you, go check out the movie Regretting You, because I got my song This Far South in there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to go out for a date night or something, go see Regretting You and hear TP blasting through the speakers.
Heck yeah. That's awesome. And where can people find you on, like, socials and websites? And
I'm on everything, brother. Whatever you use, I use. Instagram, right. TikTok, X, if people still use that, whatever. I'm on all of it.
Right on. Well, Tommy, thanks a lot. This was a lot of fun. Everyone, please make sure to check out Tommy Prine. It's fantastic stuff. Also, guys, make sure to look up Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're everywhere as well. Just Google us, we'll pop up. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Tommy, thanks again. This was a blast, and we'll see you guys next time.
Cheers, brother. Thank you.
My boots look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Take you home tonight. Make a mess of this simple